Act 2 opens with the only major character we have yet to meet, Rosina, now the Countess Almaviva. Today, we remember her younger self from the Rossini Barber of Seville. When Rossini composed his comedy, he was capitalizing on the popularity of two earlier operas. Mozart's Marriage of Figaro was, of course, one, but the other was an enormously popular Barber of Seville written by Giovanni Paisiello. The Paisiello opera is hardly more than a footnote today, but it deserves better, if only because its popularity inspired Da Ponte and Mozart to set The Marriage of Figaro. Paisiello's opera contained a cavatina in the key of E-flat for Rosina. This aria featured clarinet and bassoon accompaniment and was marked larghetto, meaning somewhat slow. To make sure no one missed the connection to Paisiello's opera, Mozart opened the second act of his opera with a larghetto cavatina in E-flat for Countess Rosina, featuring clarinet and bassoon accompaniment. In both Paisiello and Rossini, the young heroine is a perky ingenue with a charming boyfriend. We've already seen how the boyfriend turned out, and in the Countess's cavatina, we see the serious consequences of his behavior. The Countess Almaviva is a dignified but sad adult, and her aria, Porgi Amor, is a plea that love give her some remedy for the pain of betrayal. In Abduction from the Seraglio, Mozart had made the dramatically challenging choice to preface his soprano's big aria with a 9-minute orchestral introduction. The lead-up to Porgi Amor is less than 2 minutes, but even so, I'll skip over it in the interest of brevity. Rosina knows about the Count's attentions to Susanna because the forthright servant has told her mistress everything. This poignant moment is punctured by Figaro, who jokingly tells the Countess and Susanna that nothing could be more natural than the Count's behavior. The women are scandalized that Figaro is treating the whole thing as a joke, but Figaro is no fool. "Non vi basta che scherzando io ci pensi," he answers them. "Isn't it enough that even while I'm making jokes, I think?" His plan, he explains, has two components. First, they will send a letter to the Count telling them that his wife has a lover. This will make the Count jealous, reawakening his love for Rosina. Second, Susanna will agree to meet the Count at night in the garden. When the unsuspecting Count keeps the rendezvous, he'll be discovered by the Countess. The Count will be embarrassed at being thus exposed and will have to change his behavior. Not incidentally, this will also give Figaro the opportunity to hurry forward his marriage to Susanna. There is at least one flaw in this plan. Susanna will be alone in the garden with the Count for some undisclosed period of time. But Figaro explains that the women must dress Cherubino up as a girl so they can send him to the garden in Susanna's place. He is indeed thinking. Figaro leaves Cherubino with the women, and while they dress him, Susanna and the Countess amuse themselves by making Cherubino sing the love song he has written, Voi che sapete. This charming little aria is the first song we've heard since Porgi Amor almost 5 minutes ago. The intervening time has been given up to accompanied recitative, as the characters explain in detail the trap they are laying for the Count. This division between emotional arias and dry expository recitative was part of the operatic form of Mozart's day. And a good deal more recitative follows. When Rosina and Susanna dress Cherubino, they discover that the page's new commission has been drawn up with such haste that it is missing the seal that would make it official. When the Count returns, the women know better than to let him discover them with a half-dressed Cherubino. They hide the page in a closet. Almaviva has now received Figaro's letter, telling him that the Countess has a lover. He demands to know why his wife is so obviously upset at his return. And who has made that noise in the closet? It's Susanna, the Countess says. She's trying on her wedding dress. But when the Countess refuses to unlock the door, the Count concludes she is hiding her lover. He leaves to find tools with which to break down the door, and he takes the Countess with him to make sure there's no funny business. No more funny business. Susanna makes excellent use of this reprieve. She unlocks the closet, makes Cherubino jump out the window, and locks herself in, all before the Count and Countess return. Unfortunately, she does not have an opportunity to warn the Countess, so when Almaviva and Rosina return, the Countess tries to soften the blow by confessing that she's hiding Cherubino in the closet. No one is more surprised than she when this turns out not to be true. In a musical tour de force that would make Wagner proud, Mozart now dispenses with recitative entirely. For the final 20 minutes of the act, we push on to the inevitable comic conclusion with one continuous flow of music. Mozart folds each discovery seamlessly into a continuous and expanding musical framework. First, the astounded Count and Countess discover that it's only Susanna in the closet.
Susanna!
When Susanna and the Countess tell Almaviva that Figaro's letter was a test, the Count begs Rosina to forgive him for his unfounded suspicions. Everything appears to be working out until Figaro, who is not up on these latest developments, returns. The Count quizzes Figaro about the letter just to be sure. Susanna and Rosina just managed to get through that one when in comes the gardener Antonio. Antonio complains that his flowers have been trampled on by a man jumping out of the Countess's window. Figaro complains that Antonio is an old drunkard who doesn't know what he saw. He says he himself jumped from the window rather than face the angry Count. "Then these would be your papers that you dropped," Antonio says. Seeing a golden opportunity, the Count grabs the papers before Figaro can examine them and quizzes him about them. With the help of Susanna and the Countess, Figaro figures out that the papers are Cherubino's commission. He returned them, Figaro explains, because they're missing the official seal. Just when there finally seems to be an end in sight, Marcellina storms in, accompanied by Bartolo and Basilio. The terms of her loan to Figaro specify that if Figaro cannot repay her, he must marry her. And Marcellina has come to collect. The Count is amused to finally see Susanna, Figaro, and the Countess confounded.